Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Mitchell, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was out the 12th Hour. In the Elk, Texas, today is September the 19th, 23, or it's the 15th day of Tishri, 2027. We will start our first service today with the song Breath in the Soul by Elijah David. Song that I've written February 26, 2006. I used to like the things that meant good to me, just like the world thought it would be. A little okay if I sampled this part of blue. But just like sinning, that's what it is. Started out with a little kiss and ended up with bills long overdue. After I thought I'd had enough of sampling all that wonderful stuff, I went to the yard and threw in the towel. He asked me what changed my mind. I said, a little too much of that red wine, and besides that, feel it against me, wet the ground. For the world of the hour is breath and the soul, something that I'll never let go, something that means more than tongue can tell. Rising up early, going to bed late in the quiet hours, I meditate, and then I fall asleep, for all is well. I used to like the things that appealed to me, just like others I couldn't see. Couldn't speak Yahweh's word to save my soul. Then one day I opened his book, something that I longed for so, something that had never will grow old. The end that I stood as I began to read, I soon discovered I had a great need to be baptized in the likeness of his death. I long for the day to be like him, to be free from sin and whole again. I close my eyes and sleep red. Being born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, quenching with y'all like nothing else does, fills you with his love now and eternally. So take hold, brother, and don't you let go. I wrapped his love all around you, so put it on display for all the world you see. Word of the hour is breath in the soul, something that I'll never let go, something that needs more than tongue can tell. Rising up early, going to bed late, in the quiet hours, I meditate, and then I fall asleep, for all is well. And then I fall asleep, for all is well. The prayer talk is going to be taken from 1 Kings chapter 8, and it's going to be start with verse 1. It says, then the song, our sermon is going to be entitled, Why Perish? Will be track number 6 by the Beat to Your Heart. And it's going to be, I can get to the page that quick. It's going to be 1936 to 1941, Why Perish, by the Beat to Your Heart. We're going to now go into our prayer thought, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem.
that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of Yahweh out of the city of David, which is in Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of the Ethanim, which is in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Yahweh, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for a multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh unto his place, and to the oracle of the house, and to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the stays thereof above. And they drew out the stays, that the ends of the stays were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of the stone which the Moses put there at the Horeb, when the Yahweh made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud fell on the house of Yahweh, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh had filled the house of Yahweh. Then spake Solomon, and Yahweh said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, Blessed be Yahweh of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled his sin, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt. I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Yahweh of the Israel. Yahweh said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst will that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build a house that thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house unto my name. And Yahweh hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of the David my father, and sit on the throne of the Israel, as Yahweh promised, and have built an house for the name of the Yahweh of the Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Yahweh, which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of Yahweh in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yahweh of Israel, there is no Yahweh like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has checked with thy servant David my father, that thou promisest him, thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine heart, hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Yahweh, of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promisest him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed unto their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Yahweh of Israel, that thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, thy my father. But will Yahweh indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and unto his supplication, O Yahweh, unto to hearken unto the cry and unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou unto the supplication of thy servant, and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear then in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar and is high, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servant, condemning the wicked, and bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according unto his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again unto thee, and confess thy sin, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servant, and of thy people Israel, that thou teachest them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands towards this house, then hear thou in heaven, of thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give unto every man according unto his ways, his heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou, only knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger, this is not of thy people, Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according unto all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as did thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house in which I have built it is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemies, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shalt pray unto the Yahweh toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them unto the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgression, wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of fire of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou speakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yahweh. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto Yahweh, he arose from before the altar of Yahweh, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up unto heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Yahweh that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised there hath not failed one word. All his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So Yahweh, he was with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Now let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Yahweh, be nigh unto Yahweh day and night, and that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Yahweh is the Yahweh of all the earth, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Yahweh, to walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Yahweh, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace, of the peace offering, which he offered unto the Yahweh, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Yahweh. The same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of Yahweh. For there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings, and the fat of the peace offering, because the brazen altar that was before the Yahweh was too little to receive the burnt offering and meat offering and the fat of the peace offering. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, for a great congregation, from the inner end of the Hamath unto the river of the Egypt before the Yahweh, 7 days, even 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that Yahweh had done for David, his servant, and for Israel, his people. Okay, that's the end of 1 Kings chapter 8. End of a prayer thought. Why perish? It's the name of our sermon. Okay, once again, this is track 6. And P.T. Harf wrote this back about 1936 to 1941. It says, the purpose of this tract being to introduce and to deliver free of charge unto every honest soul, even unto the poorest and to the remotest one of the earth, the superabundant product, par excellence of the great universal dairy. It is therefore necessary to remove from the way of its recipients the evil work of its competitor, of which is Mr. Satan himself. Of the many present-day attacks made by this enemy against the various hosts of the patrons, there has doubtless been none so violent as that against the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. For the main user of the dairy's product and especially against the work of the denomination's founder, This is E.G. White, whose writings are known by the organization to be the spirit of the prophecy, Revelation 12, 17, 19, and 10. Is it not inconsistent that so much time, energy? Let's write that again. Is it not inconsistent that so much time, energy, and money are spent by the various individuals and organizations to give adverse publicity unto any one author of the religious literature? While overshadowing the world are hundreds of Christian isms and authors, each trying to vindicate a religious view different from the others. Since there is only one truth, and since no two sects are in absolute agreement as to what it is, naturally not all can be right, that all save one must be wrong. Alright. Why then should Mr. Swart's teachings come in for more opposition in the proportion unto the size of the following than any of the others, as every heaven-sent messenger from the Adam's day under this has been bitterly fought by men professing to be led of Yahweh? Then the mere fact of the opposition against Mrs. White's writing would not prove her wrong. And inasmuch as she has become the main target of the opposition today, as were the prophets in their day, then to determine whether her writings are dangerous and doomed or safe and sound, we must turn our attention unto the oracles of Yahweh, which reveal the past, present, and future. There her work, the right or wrong, must be found by the prophecies only. Can we prove or disprove, know what we believe and believe what we know, and with the safety accept or reject any message? Otherwise our faith can be founded only upon the uncertainties, upon a sandy foundation, which will in the end bring us disappointedly unto the Master's left hand, so to make sure of the standing at his right hand, we must not fail to give the earnest heed unto the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. 2 Peter 1:19-20. But the hearing cry of the opposition is, away with the prophecies at this time, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Matthew 11:13. For if the four-quarter scripture means that there were to be no more prophets after John, then there should have been none since that time, and were this to mean, then the scriptures would contradict themselves, for they bear evidence that while Yeshua was the son of Yahweh, he was also a prophet. Luke 24:19. And although John the Baptist never wrote a single prophetic utterance, yet he was rated by Yahshua with the greatest of all the prophets. Luke 7:28. Also Matthew and Mark and Luke, with the name of inspiration, wrote concerning Yahshua and his work, likewise John, Peter and Paul, and other contemporaries with them, prophesied in their own right of the many things to come. All these are scripturally accorded the title of prophet. Yahshua himself testified that the book of the Revelation is a prophecy for the angel who bear record of the word of Yahweh and of the testimony of Yahshua. And of all things that he saw, says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:2-3. For number one, testify. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this hope, of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, Revelation 22:18. Now the fact that this prophecy was written nearly a century after John the Baptist was beheaded is a historical acknowledgement that the prophets did not cease with him. Thus, in the misconstruing Matthew 11:13, whereas he made John the last of the prophets, the opposition is attempting to substitute for the gift of the prophecy in the antithetical apostolic era that we're in right now in the 12th parabolic hour here in these last days, private, uninspired interpretation of the scriptures. And in doing this, they are led either to ignore or to try to explain away the irrefutable statements of the Paul. And Yahweh has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, their teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of the tongue. 1 Corinthians 12:28. For the absolute evidence that the second of the eight gifts to the church in the church era is prophets. But while most of these gifts, especially tongues and government, are zealously sought after by the Christian churches, that's your Protestant Sunday keeping churches, Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, Lutheran, Presbyterian, the first prophets that were despised by the Jews is wholly rejected by almost all Christendom. That's the spirit that instigated the killing of the ancient seers at the hand of the Jewish leaders, is that they've done virtually the same sort of destructive work to the ordained opposition. While ascribing praise and honor unto the dead prophets who were slain by the forefathers, the Jews rejected the living prophet. They're bringing upon themselves the Master's mournful pronunciation, or pronouncement. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophet and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Matthew 23, 29, and 30. For the present day Christians who despise the gift of the prophecy in this age, and also deny that the Old Testament scriptures have any application in the gospel dispensation, are thereby rejecting all the prophets, while at the same time acknowledging that they were the servants of Yahweh. So such church members continue to build and garnish the tombs of the prophets, as did the Jews who came to believe in Moses, but when the testaments were found to be liars. In the like manner, most Christians today profess to believe the whole Bible, yet teach that all the laws and statutes, all the warnings and condemnations apply only unto the ancient Jews, whereas the gracious they eagerly embosom within the Christian church, for the present day so-called gift of the tongue is gibberish, and is no more the biblical gift than is the Sunday, the sanctified Sabbath day, and the gift of the government is degenerated into an institution of the prerogatives, formalities, goals, and the like, which in their present low estate are not, but agencies which in effect militate against the truth and neutralize the piety of the church. In this state of the affairs, if the best of these professed Christians of the day seem better than the worst of yesterday's Jews, awake, awake, cries the word. Loose thyself from the man wrought bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Isaiah 52:2. Quench not the spirit. O church of Yahweh, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Do not longer overlook the fact that the gift of the prophets is second in order, and the gifts of the governments and thy virtues of the tongues are less. Mark therefore that those who despise the gift of prophecy, despise the gift of the prophecy, but also exalts the gifts of the government and tongues, are manifestly pulling their cart from its rear end and are going in the wrong direction. Under them, Yahshua said, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Revelation 3:17. Those who, on the one hand, contend that there were to be no more prophets after John the Baptist, and those and who, on the other hand, profess to believe in the New Testament scriptures, which were written after John's death, are themselves in the darkness, and are, by their private, uninspired interpretation of the scriptures, separating the cloud of the darkness, whereas they go, Yahweh may have mercy on them all. Hey, Yahweh, have mercy upon them all. In the light of these facts, Yahshua's statement that all the prophets and the law prophesied until John obviously has a whole different meaning of what has been taught by the uninspired man. When it is illuminated by the same spirit who indicted, the resultant interpretation is trouble-free, revealing that thou shalt separate the prophet into a twofold classification, those until John and those after him. Sacred history shows that the prophets in the first division received the word directly from Yahweh through the medium of his spirit. They were not obliged to prove any part of their prophecies by the writings of the preceding prophet. Whereas the prophets in the second division are appointed by the unction of the Spirit to interpret the writings of the prophets of the first division. This all-important distinction and division shows that the Old Testament scriptures contain the light of our salvation for both periods, Jewish and Christian or apostolic. And when one considers that the former period is called the typical dispensation and the latter the antitypical, then evidence upon evidence rivet the conclusion that the New Testament gospel is based on the gospel of the old unfolded. Since the scriptures explain that the church in all ages has been led into the truth only through the gift of the prophecy, yet the believer has no choice but to conclude that the Yahweh will and plan for this time is just as it was four times past. That is, that the knowledge of the salvation be imparted through the writing of the Old Testament prophet as interpreted by those upon whom, as the scroll unfolds, he bestows the same spirit by which he moved upon the holy men of Yahweh in the old time, 2 Peter 1:21. For I am the Yahweh, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. For Yahweh would have ever kept Christendom unified through the inspiration revealed truth. Let's do that again. For the Yahweh would have ever kept all of your antitypical apostolic believers unified through the inspiration by the revealed truth. But the uninspired men would not humble themselves and forego their own private interpretation, with the tragic result that they have brought the present shameful sectarian confusion, such an anarchy of the opinion on the scripture, existing not only between one denomination and another, but also within the ranks of each one itself, make sure that they are not led by the Spirit whom Yahshua sent to guide and to all the truth, so that all believers in him might be as one. This union, the union through the Spirit, is forcibly taught in the Yahshua's prayer, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect and one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17:21-23. unceasing theological speculations on the Scriptures, with resultant diversities of the opinions and pleasing fables, are continually increasing confusion, dissensions, divisions, that spawn conflicting creeds and sects, whereas believers should be doing nothing but proving to the world by the perfect union that the Father has sent the Son, showing that he recognizes only one denomination. For Yahshua said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd," John 10:16. For the existing disunion among the believers of today is not therefore fulfilling Yahweh's, but Satan's predetermined purpose, that the so-called Christian world of today has so far drifted from the Yahweh's ideal for his church as to have arrived at a point where even Yahshua's own prayer fails to disillusion them and to bring them unto a realization that their very beliefs of their being all right are sure to be all wrong. Those who are not affiliated with any church or for whose conversion the churches claim to be fully exerting their means and time, look on with the scorn and laughter at this delusion and hypocrisy. Such Christians are only pleasing Satan and cheating themselves and those who watch them. Satan is leading those quasi-Christian legions to parade as fools before the world, so that through their unconscious folly, he may cast reproach upon the Yahshua and at the same time may make the world believe that the Father has not sent the Son, unless those disunited ranks awake unto their plot, Satan will shortly plunge them headlong into the eternal destruction. This everlasting tragedy would be chargeable only unto their despising the gift of the spirit of the prophecy, the eyes of the church, 1 Samuel 9:9, Isaiah 29:10, which alone can see to draw them into a state of the oneness of the unbreakable unity. Shepherds of the churches, in attempting to interpret the scriptures privately without the Holy Spirit, have set a husk before the sheep, and as a result the flocks have been left to forage for themselves. It says, in search of something better. Husk-fed Christians being undernourished are incapable of the right of judging. Some therefore hope to obtain something better from those whom they regard as the most faithful. Okay. Others expect to receive it from those who are regarded as the most learned doctors of the divinity, while still others think to find it in this or that denomination simply because mother or father or some other influential person or relative belongs to it. But these foolish choices that require no exertion of the mind or no personal experience, they are ironically only led again to the husk and the non-Christian world. Ever critically looking on, turns in disgust from this and other inconsistent and foolish practices in the Christian scene. Thus, believers, instead of converting unbelievers to Christianity, are only driving them further from it. But others, too, are well aware of this fatal sheep-like folly. The bell instinct is pointedly demonstrated in the hypothetical case of the family seen in the satirical caricature from the pen of the commentator. Okay, it says Mary goes to the Baptist church, although she is a member of the Christian church and been made to join the church at the tender age of 10 before she knew who the Yahshua or the devil really is. But she attends the Baptist church because her stepsister belongs. John goes to the Catholic church because most of his customers go there. Jack goes to the Campanian church because his gal does. Patricia goes to the Liturgational church because her school teacher teaches a Sunday school class there. Betty goes to the Baptist church with her mother because she ain't old enough yet to know better. This is printed in the Dallas Morning News of December 28, 1940. Those who are honestly seeking salvation through Yahshua must join him by the conversion for the truth's sake, and the only way one can do this is gladly to welcome all the gifts of the Spirit. And he, says Paul, of the one who alone, through all his gifts, can unify his church, gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahshua, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Yahshua, Ephesians 4:11-13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, Revelation 3:22. So the Spirit of Yahweh has spoken in these certain terms. Yet one finds, upon polling, the general opinion among Christians that the Spirit of prophecy is virtually rejected. Okay. It says, for a large class of the professing believers are really saying in their hearts, as long as we believe that there is a God and a Christ, belong unto the church, lead honest lives, and do an occasional good deed as opportunity affords, we are on the way to the holy city. And sad to say, this loose and fatally delusive hope is even in the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. Sadly too, though, the denomination was founded by the gift of the prophecy. Its present-day members, ministers, and laity alike are at continual variance among themselves over the prophetic gift, just as they are over other matters in the Scriptures. And among those who do hold that the writings of Mrs. White are inspired, the great majority are as ignorant of and as disobedient unto them as are those who profess no faith at all in them. For the church, she says, relative unto this condition, has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at the one of the spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimonies of the Spirit of Yahweh is leavening our churches everywhere. For Satan would have it thus: ministers who preach self instead of Yes, sir, we have it that for the testimonies are unread and unappreciated. Testimony, Volume 5, page 217. Yet both classes in the church insist that they are good Seventh-day Adventists. Oh, what exceeding irony that such dreadful inconsistency in the sacred matters have overshadowed the mind of the rational being. Yet what tragedy, especially when the condition need never have been, for in the ample protection against it, the scriptures teach the truth in the several ways. Besides being taught by the literal testimonies of the prophets, the gospel is taught also by the figurative prophecies, and our immediate concern, therefore, with the Spirit's teaching as to how Yahweh revealed unto men His written word, we must give the consideration not only unto the literal, but also for the figurative testimonies of the prophets. And as the fourth chapter of Zechariah is a pictorial disclosure of the way in which Yahweh reveals His word, we are led thereto for an exposition of the figurative mode of the inspired interpretation of Zechariah 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of the gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps there are on, and seven pipes unto the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bow, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are they, my master? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my master. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Yahweh unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yeshua of the host. And that's Yeshua the Son. And I answered again, and I said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my master. Then said he, These are the two appointed ones that stand by the Yeshua of the whole earth. Zechariah 4, 1 to 6, 12 to 14. Establishing the time to which this figurative prophecy points, Yahweh speaking through the prophet Haggai, who prophesied at the same time as did the prophet Zechariah, said, And I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And that day said, Yeshua of the host, that's the son Yeshua, But I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith Yeshua, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith Yeshua the host, Haggai 2, 22, 23. Meeting is fulfillment at the end of the world, and Yahweh is to overthrow the thrones and destroy the kingdoms of the earth. Haggai's prophecy shows that the Zerubbabel, Yahshua's servant, is a type of his servant today, who necessarily therefore are the antitypical signet, and as Zechariah's vision, moreover, has never been understood until now, it can be speaking directly only unto us at this time, since according unto his illustration of the word of the Yahshua unto Zerubbabel, is to find its fulfillment today, we ought then to give the most studious attention as the inspiration explains the symbolism. Well, this brings the university of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. With a song entitled, My Free Way to Heaven. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engine in its grave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fill the tunnel, never fall or never quail. Grand upon the throttle, and you're up on the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, and we meet the blissful storm, where the angels went to join us, and the praise for evermore. The railroad of grace of trials, you will cross the desert shrine. See that Yahshua is your conductor on this lightning train of love. All is mindful of obstruction, your duty never fails. And upon the throttle, you're up on the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, and we reach that blissful shore, when the angels may teach on us, and they'll praise forevermore. You will often find obstruction at your storms and wind and rain. On a fill or curve-house vessel, you'll almost get your train. But your trust alone in Yahshua never falls or never fails. And upon the throne, and you're high upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, and we reach that blessed shore, where the angels make to join us, and we praise forevermore. As you row across the trestle and Jordan's thrilling tide, you behold the Union Depot and the Ridge Train will glide. And you'll meet the superintendent, Oliver West, the song. Hearty joyous splendor, here we come and welcome home. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, and we reach the desert shore, where the angels make peace on us, in the grace. Yahshua's prayer.